Offshore Talk, the sound of yachting world.
Hello and welcome. I'm Matthew Sheehan. In this programme, we step aboard the latest launch for one of the biggest names in European production boat building, the award-winning Dala 44. Think innovation, and it's difficult not to think of Dala yachts. The German company's reputation for thinking way outside the box was born in the 80s when their sleek-styled and slippery DB1 racer cruiser challenged conventional thinking. But this wasn't designed simply for the sake of it. With a long list of successes on the racing circuit to its name, the DB range proved very popular around Europe. The company's success on the racecourse gave its designers the confidence to push at the boundaries on more conventional cruising designs. With this came Dala's reputation. However, as the IOR racing scene ran out of steam, the bubble burst for Dala, and its close association with racing proved to be both a financial burden on the company and a turn-off to its more conservative cruising sailors. The new Simonis Vuk design is a bold step forward for the company, a step that has earned Dala one of the most prestigious awards, that of European Yacht of the Year, in the 12 to 14 metre category. I stepped aboard to find out more about the boat, her background, and what makes her tick. I'm with Martin Vogt, one of the designers of the boat. And Martin, just look at this boat. There's a lot of very unusual features. We're standing on the bow at the moment, and just looking at the bow, that furling system looks pretty unusual to me.
Yeah, we choose for the Furlex TD version, which is basically the same Furlex drum as has always been used in the past. But the big disadvantage of using a normal furling drum underneath the deck, you know, because of the sag of the forestay, it will always hit the side of the hull. So we have been actually asking them already in the past to make such a furling drum that which is fitted onto the deck with the drum below. So there's no sag. Actually, the drum itself is fixed underneath, can't move sideways. And that's the beautiful system they actually came up with.
Right, it looks good. Just in front of that, there's a little grey sort of tin type. Well, it looks like a little tin on the front, but of course it's not, is it? That looks like a fancy navigation light.
That's the Lopo nav light, you know, complete LED. And I think LED is going to be the future of these boats because it saves a lot of electricity. And on this boat, everything is LED. There's no normal light on this boat anymore. So if you sail overnight, yeah, you will save much on electricity.
So the fancy LED lights that we see down below, it's not just a fashionable, trendy thing to do. It's actually, there's a serious reason behind it as well.
No, I think it's a serious reason behind. And you know, you will see more and more also in other applications LEDs will be used.
So a little bit further back and looking towards the stern, apart from the elegant lines of the teak and the lines of the coach roof, that sort of accentuate the long, slender form of the boat. The other thing that stands out are these flush hatches. You've got flush hatches throughout the whole boat.
Yeah, it's another thing we set out at Dala when we started with this design, to actually let the boat stand apart from all the stiff competition the boat is facing from the other yards. I mean, the windows and the hatches are a very important styling feature. So we said you really can't go with the standard type of hatches, you know, from the well-known makes, but let's go for complete flush hatches. So on this boat, the boat has a front flush hatch from Rondal, plus the main ones there.
And I see that as we look towards the side, the control lines are led back under the deck. Presumably that is just simply a styling issue. There's no practical reason why you'd want them under the deck.
It makes the boat look clean, and it's certainly not it's not an unpractical thing. It's just looks nice, and it works well. And to get the line fed in, maybe when you break a halyard, that's not really a big problem, because the channel is actually not that long, and it's very wide channel, so to get the new line in, it's working well.
Mm. Now, one of the other things I notice is that the chain plates on this boat aren't out at the gunwales. Quite often when we see sort of innovative, stylish performance or new performance boats, a lot of them are looking at big chain plate bases and full-width spreaders and non-overlapping headsails, but you've chosen not to go that route. They're sort of in the conventional position, and yet you've got short jib tracks. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, there has been a lot of discussion about the position of the chain plates. The advantage, of course, for chain plates moving right to the outside is that you can attach the chain plates to the hull, which can make the construction slightly lighter. On the other hand, this setup actually does allow for tight sheeting, and because this boat had to be sailed in the Mediterranean and in the Nordic countries, or be sold basically, it's quite important to fulfill all these requirements. In the Mediterranean, people would like to have more sail area upwind than in the Nordic countries. So, but it's the nice thing about this boat is that actually, if an owner has a specific wish to sail with overlapping head sails, he can actually sail with overlapping head sails. So you really can customize the boat to his personal requirements. Mm.
Without it looking like it's been customized or something's
exactly.
been missed off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got 6 winches in this layout. It's got a couple of halyard winches, Harken ones, 50.2s either side, and then a pair of 65s as primary winches, and then a main pair of main sheet winches further back. But they're very modern, racy looking winches. They're wide base, wide drums, squat things that you might find on a America's Cup boat, albeit a little bit smaller. What's the thinking behind this, behind these, using these modern winches?
Well, this is part of the SQ package, and basically look at this boat as the turbocharged version of the standard Dale 44, and these winches fit well in that philosophy. Hmm. And they light and they efficient winches with a big drum, which gives you a high line speed which you require for sailing.
Right, right. And then down in the cockpit floor there, we've got the recessed table, and then just forward of that, that's a locker for what? That looks like that lifts up.
That's a life raft locker, and actually 10-person life raft fits in there. So it's in the right place, it's right outside, but it's not at the back of the boat, which is not good for from a weight point of view. So it's very accessible.
Right. And then we've got 2 conventional lockers under the cockpit seats here, either side. And then twin wheel configuration at the back, which seems to be all the rage nowadays with the twin wheels.
Well, it comes from the racing scene, but if you think about it, and it gives such a nice passage to the back of the boat without climbing onto the deck, around the wheel, and then back down into the cockpit again. So on this boat, you can walk straight out of the companionway, right to the transom, and take your swim.
It certainly does make it extremely easy to move about the boat, that's for sure. You don't have to climb up around the sides of a giant wheel at the back of the boat. You can just walk through the middle and be in, be pretty secure, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And that might come out of the racing scene, where it's been used a lot, of course. And because these boats are so well balanced, you don't need the big wheel to turn the rudder. So a small wheel with 1 meter diameter actually works very fine.
So down below on the Dale 44, and it's a very modern, almost angular in some respects, but a very modern, trendy appearance down below. The light's just fading, it's just going dusk now outside, and the first thing that you notice, apart from the modern interior, is that switch panel, Martin. It's there isn't a single switch on it. It's an LCD display with lots of fancy graphics, but that's a real departure from the norm.
Yes, this is a touch screen, and a move into the future, where we try to minimize the amount of different switches and panels, etc., and combine everything into a single computer. It does have a manual backup, though, at the back, in case it malfunctions.
And the other thing that's very noticeable, you mentioned it earlier on when we were on deck, is that it's all LED lighting. And that's very interesting, because LED lighting has a reputation for being a little bit harsh, but this isn't harsh at all.
No, and yeah, like the LED actually comes in a lot of different colors these days, or yeah, the warmth of the color. And it's a thing you have to play around with to get the right atmosphere inside the boat. And on this boat also, what I just said about the outside, on the inside we have light strips.
Yeah.
When you switch on, you get quite a nice bright light inside.
It is. It's really quite a very different light that's spread around the cabin.
You can play inside this boat. You can play around with a lot of different light schedules, to call it that way. You can make it bright. You can make it cozy. You can do anything you would like.
far as the layout is concerned, we've got an owner's double cabin up forward with a great big heads shower area there, and then moving back we've got a straightforward saloon, and then this huge great big galley over on the port side. Now I know, having seen one of the previous boats, that this is an option. You can either have this great big U-shaped galley to port or a longitudinal one to starboard, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So you have the different options of the boat on the equipment on the outside, the normal 44 or the SQ. And then on top of that you have the option of the longitudinal galley or the more classic U-shaped galley. And then you still have the option of having a teak interior, where we're staying in now, or a more classic orientated type of interior with the light bulkheads and the mahogany wood inside.
It certainly does feel like a beaming boat, and yet when you're standing at the back looking forward, especially when you're going downwind and the boat's level, you can certainly see that it's quite a narrow, slender form, but it certainly doesn't feel it down below. The other thing that's quite noticeable is the way that some of the more basic structural elements have been actually exposed and sort of almost enhanced or almost designed to enhance the interior of the boat. I'm looking at the polished stainless tie rods on either side, but also the carbon mast, which hasn't been tucked away behind any cladding or anything like that. It's sitting there nice and proud, gleaming in its black carbon. That was obviously a deliberate move to expose that part of the boat.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the things. The other thing is that the interior has always been part of the complete design, including the structure of this boat. And also the keel bolts are actually inside in this boat. And on this Daily 44, we moved again away from a more classic approach to fitting a keel to a hull, where the keel bolts, the keel itself goes into a pocket inside the hull, more in line with what's been used in America's scuppers. And then the bolts just holding the keel inside the pocket, but not actually transferring any sailing loads. All the sailing loads are taken up by the glass fiber structure, which is all made in a female tooling mold. So if you lift up the floorboards, that you will actually see a complete clean keel structure inside the boat.
Yes, now that quite surprised me. I'm just going to move over to it, because actually I looked under here, which is a little hatch just in the cabin sole, and when I lift that up and look underneath, I was quite surprised to see just how deep the bilge is. I mean, I say deep compared to a time-honored blue water cruiser, it's not that deep at all, but it's probably a good, what's that, about 300 mil deep?
It's underneath. 300 mil deep, and that is the height we needed to use for the keel to fit into the pocket.
So it's a very striking boat, above and below decks, but certainly by the sounds of what you're saying, there's an awful lot that's gone on behind the scenes, an awful lot of thinking that's gone into this boat. But Martin, thanks very much.
You can find out more about the Daler 44 and the other European Yacht of the Year winners in the March issue of Yachting World.
You can contact us at yachtingworld@ipcmedia.com. In our next podcast, we get our hands on a radical new invention that might change the way we sail for good. In the meantime, thanks for listening. I'm Matthew Sheehan. Until next time.
Shore Talk, the sound of Yachting World. Shore Talk is an Airwaves Media production for Yachting World.